Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. And I am so excited on tonight to be back on our radio broadcast. This evening, I give God all the praise and the glory. I magnify his holy name on tonight. I just give God praise tonight. I give God glory on tonight. And I'm so grateful to be back. We're back from our Thanksgiving holiday and to get back started with our Bible class and our prayer meetings. And I'm so excited on tonight. I thank and praise God for just an opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast. I am so grateful on tonight. We have missed that week, and it seemed like 30 days. And I just thank God on tonight. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class and prayer meeting to order now. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. And we're going to go forward with our Bible class on tonight. So we're going to get ready for a song. Yeah, we're going to get ready for a song. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody. Well, y'all pray for me. Y'all know how this is. I'm trying to get something to play. Yes, God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Yes, he is. Worthy to be praised. Let me see.
The bread of the
Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make a refuge unto these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the son of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for me, for my steps, for my soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me into the midst whereof they are falling themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for the mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I have just read you Psalm 57 in its entirety, the 1 through 11 verses. May God richly add a blessing to the readers the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come on tonight humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come on tonight, Lord, just confessing and repenting and asking you to forgive us, Lord, for every known and unknown sin, God, and that we've committed against you and against you only, God. And we ask you right tonight, and we ask you to cleanse us through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Lord, we just come thanking and praising you on tonight. And we come magnifying your holy name tonight, Lord. And we give you all the glory, Lord, and all the praise on tonight. And we magnify your holy name tonight, Lord. And we lift your name up, God, and that all men may see and come running asking them what they must do to be saved on tonight. And Lord, we come on tonight, Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, to bind the strong from our lives, Lord, and bind up the strong men, God, and from this radio broadcast, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you tonight, Lord, to bind the strong man from everybody that's under the sound of my voice on tonight, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind them up. We cast them out. We command them to go in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to be on this broadcast. Send your angels, Lord, every one of your warring angels to war against them, the war against us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Every hex, every vex, every curse, every chant, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bind and cast as far as the east is from the west, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bind every strong man. I bind every witch, every warlock, every wizard, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to set fire to them on tonight, in the name of Jesus. We cast them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory on tonight, and we give you praise on tonight. Now I ask you to let me, Deborah, decrease, that you may increase and minister to us on tonight, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory, Lord, and we magnify you, Lord, and we just thank you for the things that you've already done, and the things that you're doing, and the things that you're going to do, Lord, and we just magnify your name on tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to take over and take control on tonight of this radio broadcast. Lord, we'll be careful. We thank you, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and for your glory. Amen, amen. And praise the Lord, everybody. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on my radio broadcast on tonight. We're going to continue with our dreams and visions and hope to be done with it by the first of the year, because the Lord has given me to start from the beginning of the Bible the first of the year, and two, that we may just cover the whole Bible, and that we can study the whole Bible. I mean, it's good to know all of the other things about dreams and visions like that, but we gotta stay in the Word of God. We gotta go by the Word of God in everything that we do, say, and do. And so I feel like if I teach, even if I can teach one day from the Word, and if we have anything else that we want to talk about and study, it should relate. It should, all of it should relate to the Word of God. But somebody may want, you know, want to have a question about this or that, and we may talk about that, but we need to know this word. We need to know the word. No question about that. So hopefully we can start from Genesis 1:1, starting January, and we go on, and so you can see and know the things that all of the men in of the Word of God, the men of God went through, in the prophets and all those of old did go through, and we need to know that. We because it'll help us when we going through. So we just thank God on tonight. We're gonna go. I don't really even know where we stopped at, but I know we stopped in the animals, and I'm gonna be reading a couple of things that the animals kind of give you I'm gonna start here. There are many other than fish, birds, mammals, reptiles, insects, and spiders named in the Bible. Far too many to discuss individually. One more that we should discuss, though, is the spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palace. That's in Proverbs 30, verse 28. Those who have tried ridding their houses of spider webs have learned something about this little creature. He takes hold with his hands, meaning they're very tenacious. They never give up. That's a very positive trait, but what they build with their hands is another story. I don't like spider webs. And it would be hard to place a black widow spider into a positive setting. They are evil. I just say it like that. So consider that beavers, the animal beavers, are industrious. Elephants are powerful. Foxes are cunning. Wolves run in packs and devour innocent lambs. I think I went over this once or twice. But this lets you know the characteristics of, in your dreams, certain animals. Lambs are defenseless. Vipers are deadly. Hogs are filthy. Sharks are ruthless. Mews are stubborn. Monkeys are mischievous. Fleas are insignificant. Flies are unclean. Sloths are lazy. Snails are slow. Moles are hidden. Turkeys are dumb. Swans are graceful. Cats are predators. Tigers are dangerous. Giraffes are exalted. Bears are grouchy. Deers are swift. Mice are timid. Rats are carry plague. Kangaroos, birds sting. Goats butt. Skunks sting. Hornets sting. Moths corrupt. Rabbits increase, roaches infest, scorpions, dogs bite. The list goes on and on. Almost every creature has some characteristic that set it apart and speak clearly to those who have ears to hear. All we have to do is learn to listen. So we're going to talk about the various vehicles. Sometimes vehicles constantly appear in our dreams. They symbolize different things, both to us and about us. Our personal automobile reveals a lot about us. For an example, a few vehicles. Most people choose a vehicle that suits their own personal taste. That is, as far as their pocketbook would allow. The wealthy tycoons would choose an expensive sedan, the Don Juan, a sleek convertible. sports cars, and if they can't afford that, a jalopy with loud pipes. On the other hand, stay-at-home moms with several children want a van, and a former needed pickup truck. In each case, the vehicle is more than transportation. It is an extension of its owner. And that's the truth, because a lot of times, you know, a person that have money going to run out and get a Bentley, or they're going to get a Porsche or some expensive car. But when you find just an ordinary person at work, a 9-to-5 or whatever it is, or just a regular job, they're going to want to get something that's going to get them back and forth to work, and that's real reliable. But if God wants to talk to us about our families, he simply put it into a van or SUV and off we go. If he wants to talk to us about our church family, he loads up in a couple of children from other families in the church along with ours. He may just let the pastor drive. Of course, if the pastor's wife is driving, that's another story. If he wants to warn us about trouble ahead, he may drive us down a muddy road. Or if the problem involves contention, there is another way of depicting it. The common fender bender. You know, when somebody have an accident, that's in their dream, that means something. A dream about an automobile wreck may warn you of an impending clash with one of your peers. The carnage causes by road rage that we hear so much about in a natural expression of a spiritual problem. Through dreams, God can warn us about potential blow-ups or blowouts, as the case may be, whether they happen in us or in one of our peers. Now, Nahum may have been referring to something he saw in a dream when he prophesied of the high-speed and hazardous transportation of our day. He says the chariot shall rage in the street. They shall justle one against another in the Broadway. It shall seem like torches. It shall run like the lightning. That's in Nahum chapter 2, verse 4. That's the Old Testament prophet. And he's talking about this road rage back then. You know, it was one young lady dream that she was driving her husband's car at night when she had car trouble. She stopped and looked in the trunk to discover a dead man. She was horrified and ran and told her husband. He said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it." She realized that she was responsible for the presence of the dead man and had no intentions of reporting it to the authorities. She became fearful that she was going to get into trouble because of her involvement, as decisive as she should do. Then she woke up. Interpretation, her husband was a cocaine addict. God was dealing with her about her codependence. She had to decide if she should leave and thus bring him into accountability for the error of his way or not. So in that dream, because he's just like a dead man if he on cocaine, if he a cocaine addict. So that was the interpretation of that dream. Crashes in the ministry. Besides talking to us about family and church matters and warning us about trouble ahead, God also uses vehicles when he wants to talk about to us about our ministry. Teachers usually dream about prophets, about airplanes. Of course, prophet teachers may dream about both at one time or another. Very young in the ministry, this is this lady talking, the pastor of the church I attended began to fall away from God during the time, that time. She had a dream. She was in an aircraft. She was an aircraft mechanic at an airport. In reality, she had earlier served as a jet mechanic in the U.S. Air Force. She was working on a helicopter and realized that it had a defective part. And when she attempted to explain the problem to the pilot, who was the pastor, he said, "Oh, that's what's wrong. It's just a little overheated." She realized that he was just too lazy to care. She knew he was wrong. But because he was in charge, she conceded and decided not to say anything more. Then she woke up. So a few weeks later, she dreamed that she was a passenger on a large airline, and she was very little food on board. She realized that the plane was having engine trouble, so she prayed and asked God if it was going to crash. He answered, "Yes, it will crash." She asked, "Will there be any survivors?" He said, 18 will survive. After flying for a short time longer, the plane turned into a helicopter. Soon after, it turned into a blimp. Then the scene changed. Although she was conscious of any crash, suddenly she was all in the ocean, in chest deep water. It was night, and there was no land in sight. It wasn't long after that she had these two dreams that things began to go sour at church. And see, all of this stuff like this, when you dream or you have a vision, it means you have to open, let your mind open so you will understand what God is saying. You got to pray and ask God to help you and explain, because stuff like this, I used to have dreams like that. I still have them, but not as much as I used to have. And she said, after the smoke cleared, the assistant pastor called a meeting to discuss the church's condition. Exactly 18 survivors showed up for the meeting. It was 18 people showed up for that meeting. It wasn't surprise, only disappointment. The defective condition and progressive changes in the airplane accurately depicted the deteriorating condition of the church during that time. The pastor was selfishly unconcerned, even though many people were hurt in the church crash. It was a church crash. It was a church mixed up. So he can use any vehicle that he wants to get us to see, you know, what he wants us to see. And God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful, almighty. So when he starts trying to show you things and you can't see them, he'll try different ways. He'll keep on trying until he gets to you. And you want to be listening, because God will lay you down in that bed and then he'll talk to you, and you can't move, you can't do nothing but lay there. So have an open mind and an open ear to God when he's trying to speak to you. Don't go being so busy all the time that you don't have time for God. God needs to tell you what he needs to tell you. He needs to get over the point to you. But when we always so busy, he'll try to show you in a dream, and then you put that off. He said, "Well, the only way I know to do it," and believe me, this is nothing that I'm just saying or getting out of a book or somebody told me, this happened to me so many times when I was working, going to nursing school. I have time to listen, but God slowly laid me in that bed. And even when like now, when I'm just too running over full, doing this, doing that, running here, running there, and I'm very tired, he'll wait right good until I lay down. When I don't really have control over my mind, he'll control it, and he'll tell me what he wants to tell me. I don't know if you ever experienced that before, but I have. I can remember the first time I was much younger, and it really frightened me because I didn't know why it was happening. He would push people's faces up to my eyes like, "He hurt, or you see him, I've been trying to get your attention to pray for these people." And I'm like, "Who is it? Who is that?" And sometimes I used to tell him, "You're too close, it's too close. I can't see." I'm telling you, when he want to get your attention, he going to get it. He going to get it, especially when he give you the gift to see. When you are seer, when you can see things that God is trying to show you, when you can see what God is saying, he's going to get your attention. He's going to get your attention. And you have to be mindful of the gift that he's given us. We have to be really mindful of that. You know, it's so many people and God, and we all have some kind of gift or another. It's not like we don't. Sometimes we don't know we have them. Sometimes we don't use them. But if you're paying attention to God, because the Holy Spirit is going to definitely try to get your attention, you'll start using your gift as soon as you find out. And you're going to always find out when God wants you to. If he has to send a stranger, a little baby, an animal, whatever, to get your attention that he may tell you these things, he will. He will. So, we're going to talk about it's so much. This is so much. Transportation in the Bible. You may be wondering if anything like this is in the Bible, transportation. Although airplanes and automobiles were not yet invented when the Bible was written, horses, wagons, chariots, and even iron chariots was in daily use in the Bible. Horses and ordinary chariots were used much as we use cars, and donkeys and mules and camels and wagons were used like trucks. Iron chariots were the armor of their day. There were no planes, airplanes, but they didn't seem to bother God. When he wanted to take someone somewhere in a hurry, he just took him in his own private jet. Acts chapter 8, verses 39 and 40 says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the Enoch saw him no more. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." How that first class traveled. Faster than the Concorde, Philip didn't even have to wait around at the airport for his luggage either. God just took it. See, God does everything. And believe me, this Bible don't lie. Just believe what this word say. How's that for first class? I'm telling you, that was awesome. Now, ships and boats were common in the Bible days. In fact, Paul used shipwreck as a metaphor for the modern Laodicean church. Greasy grace doctrine, holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. 1 Timothy 1:9. In our society, the metaphor more likely used a train wreck or a plane crash. James used the picture of a ship in a different way. He compared the ship's helm to a proud tongue. And he says in James 3:4-5, he said, "Behold, also the ship, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listens, even so the tongue is a little member, and great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles." It is not hard to turn a ship, but an unskilled skipper may capsize it if he tries to turn it too fast. He also may run into rapids unless he know how to steer clear of them. So James was talking about that tongue. And y'all know the tongue is a little bitty thing, but that tongue, it's hard to control. It's hard for people to hold what they about to say. It's hard. Like today, I was somewhere and I did everything I could not to say anything, but people will push you and push you and push you, and I still didn't do it, but just to be forced to have to hold my tongue and not be able to speak what I'm thinking. And I'm just looking like, okay, well, forget it. You know, just you try to live holy. You try to live the life you preach and teach about. And Satan will send somebody to try to knock you off of that. And you have to be wise. You have to really think before you speak. In so many cases, you can't just blurt out what you hear or what's in your mind or what you want to say, but you got to think before you speak or things will get out of hand. So we have to pray for wisdom and pray for patience. This was yesterday. That's when it was. I went to the bank to work some money, and they look over me, they walk over, sit in the spot, they said, "We'll be with you in a minute." And man, I bet they took 4 or 5 people, and it took everything I had to sit there for an hour because they was taking people before me. And so every time the manager passed by, he would see me. So after about 45 minutes, he was like, "Who's helping you?" I said, "Nobody." I wanted to say, "Don't you, I'm still sitting here," but I just, you know, I just couldn't do it, because if I had a spoke, I really believe the wrong thing would have come out. That's why the tongue in your mouth, this tongue, this little bitty one thing, will cut you. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This tongue will mess somebody up. This tongue will kill somebody or make them get killed. This tongue is dangerous if you don't have wisdom with this tongue. This tongue is something. So I just sit there, and it took everything. When the lady did decide to wait on me, she said, thank you for your patience. You've been here so long. I said, yes, ma'am. But that's not what I wanted to say. You know, it's just you have to humble yourself before the Lord and before the people of God. You have to humble yourself. I don't care. I sit there for so long. I had something else to do. Matter of fact, I hadn't eaten anything all day. It was almost 3 o'clock. And I thought I would run and wire the money and run out, but it took me. I went in there about 10 minutes or two, and I get out of there after 3 o'clock. So I was starving because I hadn't eaten all day. But that was my fault. God, that was my fault. And I couldn't put it on nobody but myself. But this tongue, if I had said anything else, it wouldn't have been nice. So that's we have to really pray for wisdom. We have to pray for patience. Patience, that's what I kept saying. I kept saying, Lord, you're teaching me patience. That's all I could say because I was so angry. I was so angry. And Apostle was sitting in the car that whole time. I was so angry. I called him. I said, if you want to go home, you can go home and come back and pick me up. Because I know a lot of times when we go through things like this, we should ask God, what are you trying to show me? What am I to do? That's why I told him you could go and come back and get me because I don't know how long it's going to be. But I know God was teaching me something through things, through that. And we have to understand through our dreams and visions, and even when we in a situation or a circumstance, just like I was yesterday, it's a learning experience from everything that you go through, especially when it's like that. And you, I wasn't in such of a hurry, but it's like it takes so long. You know, it took so long, and I'm thinking at least a half hour, but this was over an hour. Over an hour, and I was just so outdone. I said, this is a bank. You know, and I didn't have to stand in the line for anything. This was over to the side. It wasn't anybody over there but me. So it was one other lady that came after I came. She said, well, I got an appointment. And so they took her and left me sitting there, even though I had been there 15 minutes when she got there. But if I had spoke out the way I felt, it wouldn't have been nice. But you have to ask God, what are you trying to teach me? What am I to learn from this? He's always, when it's something like that, he's always trying to teach us something, always, believe me. So, I'm going to do one more thing, and then we're going to just pray a little bit on that. If we dream of driving backwards, looking over our shoulders, we've gone by our past experience instead of being led by the Spirit. So if you ever dream that you in reverse driving, that's considered your past experience instead of being led by the Spirit. If we drive backwards by looking in the rear mirror, we are ministering by the letter of the word instead of by the inspiration of the Spirit. Paul said that God have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. That's right. We must drive forward, facing forward, to pass God's driving exam. An old gravel road often represents God's highway. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Why a gravel road? The rocks represent God's word, because you know those gravels on the road is lumpy, and even if you walk and you can feel every little stick and poke, and it's a gravel road. But even a wooded path through the forest can be his way too. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalms 119 and 105. And in rare cases, even the freeway can be the right way. But getting in the fast lane on the expressway is usually not his way. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. But getting back to that gravel road, the rocks represent God's word. And God's word is not always easy. It's not always smooth. God's word is, it'll cut you and it'll stick you and it'll poke you. We may get bruised up. We may get whooped up sometimes. We may get a scarred and all of that. But God has a band-aid that or sutures that'll sew you up, and it'll cut you going, and it'll sew you back up coming back. We have to know that it's not always easy when you God's word. It's not always easy. We have to endure to the end. We have to, because every time you get a cut, a bruise, a scrape, it lets God know that you're a warrior. You've been in battle. And we're going to get those when we're in the word of God. We're going to get bruised up. We're going to get scarred up. You know, we're going to have battle in God's kingdom, in his word. Because these words in here, his word is everything to me, because it shows you how to live. It's a roadmap to everything that we need, the word of God. And you can sit up and read and study, but this word right here, the word that God give us, if we just live by it, if you can live by the book, or even if you could just live by the book of Proverbs, you'll be blessed. Now, I mean, the whole Bible, but the book of Proverbs will show you how to live. They call that the baby Bible. Show you how to live. They say, oh, we can't do these commandments. If you keep them 10, you can keep all the rest of them. And I'm saying them 10 gonna cover the rest of them, along with the two that he brought forward. And so it's 12 of them, really. If we could live by them, we can cover all the ones that was in that Old Testament, because you living by the word of God. So we're not gonna stay on too much longer, but I'm gonna pray, and I just want to know, does anyone have any prayer requests before I start praying? We're not gonna stay on too much longer. Thank you. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to pray. I thank and praise God tonight for an opportunity to be back on the radio broadcast on tonight. God is so good, and you know, so many things are been happening. You know, people dying and people sick, and it's just so much. And God has given all of us, and I'm just saying from my what I hear the Lord is saying, and from what I've been hearing. It's like he's given us a chance to do and to get closer to him and to do more. And I know when we are able to go back to church and do different things, that things are going to get different, going to be different. But we got to remember what we just been through. We got to remember all the lives that was lost. We got to remember what the Word of God says. We have to remember all that God has taken us through. And these tests that he give us is for a testimony that we can help somebody else. We have to remember that. Now, with me, I'm setting myself up to start traveling. When God give me to go ahead doing revivals and things like that, I would never stop doing my prayer line ever until he stopped me, ever. But I know it's things that God want us to do. He want us to get closer. He want us to invite other people to get closer and closer to him. We have a ministry, each one of us. And we need to do our ministry. We need to tell people about God. We need to be a witness for the Lord. That's what he wants us to do. And we need to do it. So we're going to get ready. I'm just going to pray a little while. And then on Sunday, we'll come back for our Sunday afternoon services at 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern time. So, Father, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come on tonight just giving you praise and glory, Lord. We magnify your name, God. We just give you glory on tonight. We bless your holy name on tonight, Lord. We just give you worship. We give you worship, God. We give you praise. We just thank you, Lord, for everyone under the sound of our voice, God, and we give you glory and we give you praise on tonight. We just thank you tonight, God. We thank you for how you covered us, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for how you healing us and how you deliver us and how you set us free, God, from whatever it is. We just thank you. Nobody can do this but you, God. How you protect us every time we go out the door. You protect us, God. You have your angels encamped about us to protect us from all hurt, harm, or danger. Even our children, our husbands, our families, our wives, Lord, you protect them in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you so much for it, sir. We thank you. We don't take nothing for granted, Lord, that you do for us, because you don't have to do what you do. And we just give you praise. Somebody went to bed last night that did not wake up, Lord. We thank you today, Lord. We give you praise today. Somebody in on their deathbed, somebody sick, Lord, and we know that you are a healer, God, that you heal me, God, and I thank you, Lord. I don't take that for granted. I give you glory, hallelujah, and I give you praise on tonight. All of the children that's in intensive care, in the neonatal intensive care unit, God, I ask you to touch them. And the St. Jude Hospital, God, I ask you to touch them. I know you can heal each one of them. And I thank you for doing it, God.
I thank you, Lord, and I give you praise tonight, and I give you glory, Lord. And Lord, don't let our minds veer off to the east and veer off to the left. Let us keep our minds stay focused on you. Don't worry about what's happening over here, and don't worry about what's happening over there. God is in control of everything that we do. In the name of Jesus, everything. He's in control. He's God and God all by himself, in the name of Jesus. And we got to know that and know that we know that we know that God is in control. God is in control, I tell you. I don't care what it looks like. Don't look at what it looks like. It may look like everything is failing, but God said, and he is everything, and he is our provider, he is everything, and God is in control of it. He's never failed us. He's never left us. He sent his only begotten son to die for us. It's God. We can't make it without God. We can't make it without him. I just thank him today. I thank God so much. I thank him for leading and guiding us in the way that he would have us to go. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless those that don't have food and shelter. Keep them covered, God. Bless the little children, men, women, boys, and girls all over the earth, God. Keep them covered. Bless those, God, that's standing in these food lines, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in soup lines, God, and bless those in the shelter homes, Lord, and you know just who they are, Lord, and they calling on you tonight, in the name of Jesus. They need you. We need you, God, and we can't make it without you, Lord. We can't make it. We can't do nothing without you, Lord. Not one thing, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you know those that don't know you yet. In the point of a sin, Lord, I ask you, Lord, let something happen that they may come run asking what they must do to know you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and those, God, out there doing what they want to do. Those backsliders, Lord, that don't know that you're married to them already, and they don't know that you're going to save them and sanctify them and fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, I ask you today to have mercy on those that's doing wrong and know that they're doing wrong, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you tonight, Lord, to forgive each one of them, Lord, that ever hurt us, God, and ever mistreated us, they ever did anything wrong, talked about us, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we forgave them, and we forgive them today. And we ask you to forgive them, Lord, and bless them with the blessing they stand in need of on today. That's to forgive our enemies. Forgive them, God. Those that try to despitefully misuse us, God. Those that see all manner evil against us, God. Please forgive them today, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, go behind the prison wall, Lord, and bless those. Bless those in penal institutions. Bless those in the nursing homes, Lord, and bless those that's in the hospitals, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, those that's eating out of the trash can, and those that don't know one want to have anything to do with. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you today to have mercy and protect them and guide them, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, just guide them and protect them and lead them, Lord. And in the way you would have them to go, provide for them, God. And I know you love them. I know that you love them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, because you are loving God in a kind and gracious God. Lord, we give you praise and glory. Lord, and those that seek, the ones that shed in and can't get out, I ask you to cover them, Lord. in the blood of Jesus and encamp angels all around about them to protect them, feed them, and clothe them, Lord, and pay their bills, Lord, and they rent, God. And don't let it happen, not one thing, God. And in the name of Jesus, tell you they send provision to pay their rent and feed them, God, and clothe them, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, have mercy tonight. Lord, have mercy tonight. Lord, have mercy on them tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise. Lord, we thank you for just listening, God. And thank you for answering every prayer. I just thank you for answering every request. I thank you for answering my prayers. I thank you on tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. God bless you. We thank and praise God on tonight. We're going to get ready to close out. Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Bless they and their family. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen and praise God. You all have a blessed night. We'll be right back here Sunday, 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern time. God bless you. God love you. I love you too. Y'all, if you need me, you know my number. God bless you. Have a good night.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.